Orlando, the new voice.
Worldwide, baby.
The new voice. Broadcasting from Pine Hills, 98.5. The Wire.
What up, what up, what up, what up, though? This is Nathan J. Shaw Jr., and I'm so excited about the first ever Frontline Sports Center Fit for Life radio broadcast right here at 98.5 FM every Monday at 10 a.m. And the best part of this job is I get to do it with some amazing, amazing hosts. Y'all give a shout out to Dr. Nick Henderson. What's up, Doc?
Hello, hello. How's it going? I'm Nicholas Henderson. I'm glad to be here. We got our first show. It's very exciting, so we're going to give you a lot of information and having a good time at the same time.
And the sportsman with the plan, Coach Rez. What's up, Coach?
What up, the family? This is Coach Rez. Just one of those. Just give everybody big blessings out here. And again, I'm also excited to be on a panel of great brothers here where we all trying to do great work for the community.
Listen, this is the first show, y'all. Y'all as excited as I am about this first show?
Absolutely. It's
of course.
Be great.
Most def.
Listen, this is not going to be your average radio show. Frontline Sports Center, Fit for Life. Radio broadcast is like no other. Coach Rez, tell them what Fit for Life is all about.
Fit for Life. Our four pillars are going to be on sports, health and wellness, entrepreneurship, and faith and spirituality.
Absolutely. So we're talking a little bit about everything. We're going to talk about sports, entrepreneurship, health and wellness, faith. We know faith is the center of everything we do. We walk by it, we breathe by it, we live
Absolutely.
By it. We're not
of
ashamed.
Course.
We're unashamed, unapologetic, and unafraid to talk about our faith on the radio. But we're going to be talking about real talk, real
of course.
Subjects, basically bringing the barbershop and the hair salon conversations to the radio. So I know you all are going to want to be a part of the conversation. Maybe you want to talk with us, or maybe you want to say what up for our first show. Call this number, 407-369-8555. Again, that's 407-369-8555 right here on Fit for Life radio broadcast. Listen, before we go any farther, we got to let the people know who we are. So, Dr. Nick, tell the people who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
So, my name is Nicholas Henderson. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm a board-certified physician specializing in physical medicine and rehabilitation. So, I specialize in patients with disabilities and help them reach their highest level of function non-surgically. So, you know, I really do a holistic approach to the whole person as far as their emotions and their whole environment. And try to help them reach their highest level of function. So that's pretty much what I do, is help people get better physically and mentally and every other way. So we're going to tie that into the health aspect here. I'm also a certified personal trainer. And, you know, I played football, basketball, baseball, karate, you know, all that, and played football in college. So it'd be fun to get into the sports and all that. And also an entrepreneur, because I own my own business. And so... we'll get into a little bit of all that.
That's what's up, man. It's so honored. I'm honored to be here with you today. You know, in our climate today, to have a strong African-American male on his entrepreneurship grind, educational grind, is such an impression on our young people. And then we have the sportsman with the plan, Coach Rez. Coach Rez, tell them who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Yes, sir. Again, Coach Rez, my name, with the children around the community call me. First thing first, I'm a man of God, my husband, a father of two beautiful daughters. Working over here at Frontline Outreach is a great opportunity where I can firsthand touch the people in my community with inspiring them and uplifting them in one avenue by using sports. I'm a former collegiate basketball player, and that's one of my loves and my passions. And it's one of those things I've noticed that it's a vehicle to success in many avenues and many ways where you can actually connect and, again, inspire the youth and even adults by using that game. So with basketball, that's one mechanism or tool that I use to pull in a lot of our youth in our community, and at that time, that's when I feed in a lot of the positive things where, again, we can uplift them and help build them on a personal standpoint and help lift up their character so that way they can be successful out here in life.
That's what's up, and I get an opportunity to see Coach Rez every single week working with elementary, middle, high school, collegiate, and some pros with the mind, body, and soul. Is such a phenomenal thing to see. If you're not connected to Frontline Outreach, I encourage you to connect right away. Again, I'm your boy Nathan J. Shaw Jr., founder and executive director of Youth Empowerment Project, a nonprofit 501c3 organization built to expose, equip, and empower youth and young adults towards success. We do this through career exploration, professional development, and paid internships, and we teach them entrepreneurship to our young people. And the long and short of it is this: my life mission, my purpose, is to help youth and young adults identify, activate, and walk in their purpose. Your boy was blessed to write a book on the subject, and guess what, y'all? It's critically acclaimed.
There you go.
Okay.
By my mama. My mama said you should get the book. So you can get it on Amazon. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. But listen.
Also, I wanted to add something else. Everyone who's at home, if you can go get a piece of paper and a pen, because I'm going to be giving you different information and different knowledge during the segment. So, you know, if you're driving, then I understand. But if you're at your desk, you're at work, or if you're at home, get a pen and paper, because I'm going to be giving you different websites and different things to write down so that you can remember it and so we can learn some things during this segment.
Absolutely. Health and wellness is such an important part of our community. Listen, every single week we're going to bring to you a question of the day, and this is where we want you to get involved. So again, write down the number 407-369-8555. Again, that's 407-369-8555. We want to hear your thoughts. This is not just the talking heads. We want to hear your thoughts as well. Coach Rez, tell them the question of the day.
All right, listen up, family. The question of the day is, how can we as an urban community help improve ourselves? Again, how can we as an urban community help improve ourselves?
How can we as an urban community help improve ourselves? So listen, it's not just us. We got some special guests, but we're going to take a short break. So make sure you let everybody know to tune in to Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM. We'll be right back after this message. Yo, are you a legend?
Yeah, I'm a legend. Oh my God. Oh my God. If I die, I'm a legend.
Wait. Not that kind of legend. A legend from Legends Academy.
What's Legends Academy?
Legends is a K-8 STEM-focused school that prepares leaders for tomorrow.
Leaders like me?
Yeah, anybody can be a leader. And there are a lot of young leaders out there like us that need a place to prepare.
Then tell them to come out.
If you are a young leader, come out and register at Legends Academy, located at the Hope Center West Campus in the Washington Source community of Orlando, Florida. School hours are from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Be there.
Well, I'm going to slide out there right now.
Yo, my name is Mark.
And this is Laura.
And we are part of the Youth Empowerment Project. YUP is a nonprofit organization that looks to expose students to many opportunities.
We also look to equip students with information and empower youth and young adults to success through professional development.
Some opportunities are field trips and guest speakers.
We learn design, video, social media, and web design.
We also make money from paid internships in our Life Print store.
You can learn more at www.youthep.org. Join us at Frontline Outreach, 3000 C.R. Smith Street, Orlando, Florida, 32805, second floor.
This is a place where your voice is heard.
Remember, equipped, exposed, and
and we're back at the Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5, sponsored by Frontline Sports Center. Listen, every single week we're going to have different segments. Coach Rez is going to take our sports segment. Dr. Nick is going to take our health and wellness segment. And I'm blessed to take our entrepreneurship segment. But we're going to start with some sports. Again, we're bringing the barbershop hair salon conversation to the radio. So, Coach Rez, tell us what the sports segment of the day is.
All right. The sports segment of today is, we have two things. But the first thing we're going to start on is this college basketball's FBI corruption scandal. Now let's say that it has names attached to it, but let's get a little bit into the scandal. All right, now the scandal is all about collegiate athletes taking monies from either coaches, boosters, NBA, or other professional agents. Now, we're not going to be chatty patties and start naming names, but we will introduce you to a couple of the institutions that's actually involved in it. Some of the colleges they're talking about is Alabama, Duke, North Carolina, Creighton, South Carolina, Utah, Xavier, Clemson, wow. I'm still going, Kansas, wow. Texas, Notre Dame, I'm still going, Virginia, Iowa State, Vanderbilt,
everybody.
Michigan State is also another one as well. I mean, some of these are some of our favorite programs, some of the programs that we're more familiar with because we see them a lot on TV, and that's another thing as well that I want to mention. So, there's a problem with the collegiate athletes getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the main source of income for not just the actual sports programs, but at a lot of times these institutions as well. Because that's one thing that I would say that brings up the level of the institution is having a competitive sports program. It's very important. Like, we understand that we're all lovers of the sport.
Yeah.
And that's something that brings us in. Mm-hmm. But it's not fair that these kids can't be paid. This is my opinion, right. Of course, they get paid for their actual gift because they're bringing in several revenues of income. For the coaches, the ADs, and so on.
Right, the whole school.
Exactly.
So it, like, even if you have a football program like Alabama, it pays for the other sports programs. It also pays for even, a library, for everything that they get at the school, not to mention the the enrollment goes up, or people more, like you win the national championship, then more and more people gonna apply. It's gonna be people who apply just because Florida State won the championship more so than Florida right now.
Well, they already have a issue with they, that's why they moved the year. You have to be a year in college instead of going straight from high school. Well, what are we really talking about here? Because are we really encouraging young people to get education when they're college? Is it all about the sport? Like, what would be the solution to this issue? Because we know basically all the programs are doing it.
Definitely. And then I see this as another mechanism to just keep us keep the power, just shift the power. They know that some of these kids come from, you know, financially, let's say a struggle. Just keep it simple. They're coming from a struggle. And they know that by paying them or bribing them by money, that they have somewhat of power over them because they're able to change that financially.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, uplifting them, showing them how to get that money while they're playing or whatnot. But it's frustrating.
Now, Dr. Nick, you actually played ball. What do you think about this dynamic? I mean, do you think that the collegiate athletes should get paid for their services, for what they do, or are they students? I mean, because we have to look at the balance of that. Student versus an athlete, a professional athlete. Are they professional athletes in college?
I mean, so if they get paid, then they would be professional athletes. But I think that it can kind of go either way. For me, I was more about the about school. Mm-hmm. So I love sports. I played football, wrestling, baseball in high school. So I definitely wanted to play in college. But I didn't want to play pro because I didn't like the NFL even back then when I was 17. Wow. Because it felt like slavery to me. But I knew I wanted to play because I had a lot of energy that I needed to get out during the day. But I think to answer the question, that there isn't, it can go either kind of any way, but I think that at the end of the day we have to be open and be honest with the kids. It's like we sell them this dream that, like, you know, you can kind of go and then we pay for your college and then also you can go to the NFL or go to the NBA and then your life can be amazing, and really people just making money off of them and don't really care if they graduate or not. And, you know, some of them will go professional because that's good for the school. But if you don't, if the other kid does, then that's cool too. So they don't really care. So I think at the end of the day, we have to, like, get our kids to wake up and kind of know what's going on. So even if they go and get paid, then that's fine. But then they can't do like the professional athletes and just blow all the money. Or if they go and they go for school, then they still have to wake up and really get the best out of the education. You can't just go and just take basket weaving and stuff like that. So I think that at the end of the day, we have to wake the kids up and show them what's really going on. Show them what percentage of people actually go into the professional sports. What percentage of people actually graduate. All those things.
That I'm a little bit torn, right? Because that what you just said, a lot of these percentages of students actually going to professional sports is slim. Mm-hmm. And so you sell them this dream, they may be out of high school, maybe because you have some students going straight to overseas, you know, so that's an option for them for a year. But there, a lot of these students are not going to make it to the pros, and then they don't have an education. I'm not going to bring in the whole parent situations going on in Lithuania right now. Yeah. But how do we remedy that? Because we still need these kids to be educated. And from a youth standpoint, I want to make sure our kids got education, not just be focusing on.
I'm talking about truly educating them.
Yeah.
Not sending them to college and paying for their college, and they're taking badminton and they're taking basket weaving. That's not educating them.
Well, should there be two tracks? Should there be a track if a young person coming out of high school that they can go into what would be kind of considered like a G League type of thing, and if that's their track, or a track toward education as far as going to college and all those things, should that be separated instead of combined? Because it seemed like this corruption, is it really going
to
stop?
I really feel that it should still be combined, but of course we have to really shake down who's the head of the NCAA, because clearly, you know, I guess they've been regulating themselves and we're seeing the problems with that. But on a financial standpoint, I think we're misinforming the youth and the families that are coming in, because that's one of the main educational pieces that I think is missing. Because if everyone was aware of how much money at the NCAA, which again is a 501c nonprofit, I don't know how they're a nonprofit when you see they're making hundreds of millions to billions of dollars annually. I think if these families were informed more so on this, then there would be definitely have to be a push in education, or just on a financial standpoint, on a business, on an entrepreneurship standpoint, which would help better tool not just the athletes, but also the student body as a whole.
Well, now it kind of goes back, because we know young people are starting younger and younger in AAU programs, and we're talking about the misconception is. But let me shift for a second. What do you think should happen to these programs? Because these are institutions that are involved in this maybe corrupt situation. Head coaches, you know, ADs, all this stuff. What is the what's What's the solution for the programs, Dr. Nick?
I mean, well, if they not following the rules that are set in place, so they need to have the consequences. But at the same time,
are we gonna have any games though?
maybe not.
You know, maybe shut down for again.
No one really that's going for the championship. Duh. Maybe UCF is the real champion.
Hey, UCF Knights. Let's give some shout out to the Go Knights. They got to get a chance for to get in the dance.
Since Alabama was cheating.
Oh man.
Listen, yeah, but it's an ongoing subject, man. We're going to have to continue to talk about it.
Without a doubt. And as well, like Dr. Henderson here, you know, he was a collegiate athlete as myself. I played Division II basketball. And the thing that was always mentioned was that if you're playing Division I or Division II, you are a professional athlete. Mm. So they're professional athletes not getting paid. So we definitely going to talk about this.
Or people look at it as you're getting paid by them paying for your education.
Hmm.
And so they like, you're getting paid because we know we're giving you the $30,000.
I don't
want to
go here, but is that a form of control or bondage in any kind?
I mean, it kind of is, but like I said, even at the age of 17, I wasn't into it. So I went to Howard University and I played football, but I went on an academic scholarship because I didn't want them to control what I did.
Yeah.
But once I got there, I found out they don't give you, if you're a walk-on. So if you don't have a athletic scholarship, they call you a walk-on. And so, like, you know, the first day,
different treatment.
Yeah, it's completely different. So I went to the dorm, me and my mother, and he was like, Coach Dean, he was like, oh, your dorm's over there. And so me and my mother went over to Drew Hall, and it was hot. It was flies flying all around. My mother was like, you're not staying here. And I was, and we walked back over, we talked to Coach Dean, and he was like, you know, well, you know, some students stay over there, some stay over here. My mother was like, well, he need to stay over here and cook hall. And then finally we went back and forth, and then one of the younger coaches was like, look, the scholarship athletes stay over here. The walk-in will stay over there. So my mother was like,
"See, that's a problem.
You don't have to play for them."
That's a problem I have, though, because we're basically saying that the value of getting your academics and getting a scholarship in academics is lesser value than using your talent and your gift in basketball. And where both of them are legitimate.
That's true.
We can't devalue the student who gets on their grind, maybe decides not to play ball in 11th and 12th grade so they can get their education, and we put them in a different situation than a collegiate athlete. There's a problem with that.
So that's what I mean when it's about the education. It's about opening people's eyes so they actually see what's going on. And so, you know, I had different scholarships for different sports, but I knew I wanted the academic scholarship as instead. And like you said, it paid for all of my schooling, my tuition, but it didn't pay for room and board. But since it was that way, I took the athletic scholarship later. I didn't lose the academic scholarship, but I took the athletic one just since it would pay for room and board, and since it was more money and more respect. Like, they didn't give you cleats and stuff if you were a walk on. But so I took the more money, took the more respect. Wow. But at that point, they already knew, oh, Nick's gonna do his work first. He's not because they will want you not to take certain classes because you got to come to this meeting
Wow.
And so they already knew what my priority was.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question: was your parent aware before you went in the stipulations that because I think parent in rareness is a major issue as well.
So
how was that
exactly? Dynamic? So I was blessed to have a mother who was educator. So she was a teacher, and also she went to college. She went to a historically black college, Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland, where I'm from. Did I mention? And also my father played football
in
college. Yeah, exactly. And then my father played football in college, and so, you know, she had some idea. Because like, even when we went on the recruiting visits, I went to Alabama A&M, and you know, it was cool, but she asked them, you know, what's the graduation rate, and they said 10%, and that's when we were out. Like, right. You know, they didn't really value education in that way. So I think that at the end of the day, we have to educate the kids and let them know what's really going on. Show them the big contracts. You know, when you get someone who's going to get millions of dollars in the pros, but we need to show them how much the NCAA is making, how much the school is making, how much they make from football versus soccer versus something else.
Yeah.
I think that's all part of the education. That way, if you have a kid like the Ball family, and you know, you can kind of make your own choices.
We're bringing them up.
Yeah.
So listen,
it's relevant.
You are listening to the Frontline Sports Center Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM. Again, if you have a conversation on this topic, please give us a call at 407 407- 407-369-8555. Again, 407-369-8555. What do y'all think about this?
Call in that number, because I want to know what people feel about if it was your kid and you don't want him to play pro. You know, would you be more like LeVar Ball and be like,
are we living through our kids or what we doing?
And we want to hear both perspectives, athletes and non-athletes, because we understand that some people might be a little bit upset because they can't dunk. But it's all love here, so we want to hear both sides.
Is that some shade? You trying to throw some shade at some people? Right. You know, that's like it's a lot of the population. Still get up there a little bit, you know. So again, that number is 407-369-8555. We want to hear your voice as well. Anything else in the sports segment, Coach Rez?
Well, we're gonna close this, and I think we might need a moment of silence for this.
Oh.
During the All-Star weekend, Fergie.
Mm.
What was you thinking?
Mm.
First of all, who booked Fergie?
Yeah.
And I know they had to get a sample of what she was going to bring to the table, but you know what? If there was any disrespect to any songs or patriotism or country or whatnot, it was that national anthem. I don't know what it was. I mean, she tried to remix it, retwist it. That was a perfect time for some auto-tune. Travis Scott, Migos, please bless her.
They could have put T-Pain up there. Listen, definitely. Here's the thing. I've dabbled in singing just a bit. I'm retired now, but here's my thing. Everybody should not sing the national anthem.
Fact.
Like, that is something. If you cannot sing that song a cappella, you really don't need to touch it, because there's so many different melodies, so many different, you know, arrangements. Like, everybody shouldn't sing that song. And basically, we got Marvin Gaye and Whitney Houston. You're not going to do better than that.
True.
So my thing is, I'm with you. Who booked this Fergie in L.A.? This is the biggest market in the
NBA. Shots fired. Whoever booked her, I think she needs to be upset with them, because she knows she wasn't ready for that. She not about that.
I thought it was maybe a Marilyn Rowe try to, you know, whatever.
Come on now.
You know, but
you can't sexy up enough. That is just not. That was it.
Man. Well, you've heard it here, the sports segment. We want to hear from you. 407-369-8555. The sports frontline sports center, Fit for Life radio broadcast, is happening right here on 98.5 FM. We're gonna be right back after this commercial break. Y'all stay tuned.
Yo, my name is Mark.
And this is Laura.
And we are part of the Youth Empowerment Project. YUP is a nonprofit organization that looks to expose students to many opportunities.
We also look to equip students with information and empower youth and young adults to success through professional development.
Some opportunities are field trips and guest speakers.
We learn design, video, social media, and web design.
We also make money from paid internships in our Life Print store.
You can learn more at www.youthep.org. Join us at Frontline Outreach, 3000 CR Smith Street, Orlando, Florida, 32805, second floor.
This is a place where your voice is heard.
Remember, equip, expose, and empower.
What's up? This is your man Larry with some info about Frontline Outreach Sports Center. This place has lit programs like Friday night open gym, basketball training, and more. Our mission is to serve and support you and the families through programs in early childhood education, character development, athletics, health and wellness, and family empowerment. We are located at 3000 CR Smith Street, Orlando, Florida, 32805. Be there.
We're back at the Frontline Sports Center Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM. I want to remind you the question of the day: how, as we as an urban community, how can we improve ourselves? If you have thoughts on that topic, please give us a call at 407-369-8555. 407-369-8555. We want to hear your voice. We had some really good conversation. What y'all think so far? Y'all liking this radio?
Oh, man, I'm loving it. I'm real comfortable up here.
Yeah, it's good. I got some things I want to say, so it's a good little platform to get it out there.
That's what's up. And we want to hear, this is a show for the community. This is a show for us. So we want to hear your voice again. We have an entrepreneurship segment coming up, and that's going to be by myself. But we have some extremely incredible guests in the building right now, live and in person. We have the extraordinary, intellectual, amazing, dope, and incredible individual herself. Dr. Jennifer Porter Smith is in the building with Legends Academy. So incredibly honored to be here. Dr. Jen, how are you doing on today?
I am doing well. Thank you.
So good to have you here. And then we have, listen, I need y'all to pay attention to this. We have the Archbishop. So, Dr. Nick, Coach Rez, you got to arch your back when you talk to him.
There you go.
We have the Archbishop in the building today, recently appointed Archbishop Allen T.D. Wiggins. Bishop, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you. So we are transitioning into our entrepreneurship segment, and I thought it not robbery, Bishop, to have you on because you're doing so many incredible things in the urban community, specifically around development, involving, you know, Lift Orlando project, involved in housing projects, involved in employment, frontline outreach. So many incredible things going on. And again, our question of the day is, how is we as an urban community, how can we improve ourselves? And you've been on the front line of that. Bishop, tell me, where did that passion come from? Where did that start where you were passionate about investing into your community?
Well, Nathan, just to be honest with you, as you have already alluded to my background in terms of church, I'm a church boy. I'm a Keens kid. So my whole background is really centered around church. So I was following the typical mental model of just simply being a church, wanting to build a larger church and wanted to build a family life center. Until one day I had an epiphany. I had a life-changing experience where one of our parishioners that lived across the street from the church had lost their baby girl, and I had to go over there and minister to them.
Wow.
And when I went over and ministered to them in their apartment building, I could not believe that people were living in such deplorable conditions. Wow. Again, right across the street from our church. And when I say deplorable, I'm talking about roaches, I'm talking about untreated walls, I'm talking about ceiling fan just simply rotating, circulating hot air, no central AC, no central heat. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, wow, how could people live like this right across the street from our church? And I've been over there several times. We witnessed and evangelized, but their living conditions had not changed. And so on my way back across the street after I witnessed to that that couple, God literally jacked me up. He said, where are you going when you leave this place?
Wow.
And I said to him, I'm going back to my house. And he said, before I could get the whole sentence out, I know you're going to your home with wall-to-wall carpet and ceramic tile and all of the amenities of life. Then he asked me this question that changed my whole outlook on ministry. He said, what is your church doing to change the lives of people that live right across the street?
Wow.
And at that moment, I was like, I had my wow moment. And out of that wow moment was our vision statement birth to change the community by meeting the needs of the total man.
Yeah.
The very next week, a realtor came by wanting to sell some property. We were looking to move out of the community. We were looking, just like any other typical church, to find 50 acres of land outside of the community so we can build a larger church, a family life center. And this realtor said, you know, the property that's right across the street from your church is for sale. And I believe that you ought to be interested in buying that property. And the next thing you know, that realtor, I call him an angelic being. He literally took us by the hand, took us over to a bank, a friendly banker. And next thing you know, we had ended up purchasing that property. Little did we know, we didn't realize it was 80 units. I visited one unit. We bought 80 and ended up just investing, putting paint on the building, just showing that we cared. And all of a sudden, that whole piece of property was a complete turnaround. And so when you talk about changing lives, it's not just about what you preach on Sundays, it's about what you do Monday through Saturday, entire week.
Respect.
And that has really changed my whole
Absolutely.
Outlook.
Let me just applaud you for that.
Absolutely.
We have little group me's, like group chats and stuff like that. And actually, recently in one, I put I voiced some of my frustration. And it was kind of because, like, there was this post on Facebook and someone was like, oh, I'm going on a mission trip to Thailand, and can you guys help fund my mission trip? But in my heart, it was like, well, why do you want people to give you money to go to Thailand, to do missionary work? Like, are you doing anything, right on your corner, right on the street? They probably will cost less money and things to that extent. And so it was just, a little frustrating in my spirit. But part of the point was that there's things that we can do right in our community, right on the corner, right down the street to help people and where people need it the most. And so that's a perfect example. I didn't even, really know that whole background, that whole story. But that's kind of the way I see things. So I appreciate that.
And you've really mirrored the Hope Center West campus, if you will. It's not just the apartment complexes or, you know, the church. There's a real campus involved. Bishop, can you speak to the Hope Center West campus? I know there's, you know, Frontline is a part of that. Legends is a part of that. Why was that important to kind of almost be a little city?
Well, that is a result of the evolution of what I call transformation. Again, we started out with just simply a walk across the street. And if we go back to our vision statement of changing the community by meeting the needs of the total man, we realized that we could not just simply meet one need if we wanted to transform them. We had to touch all of the needs that were touching them. So our framework is built upon a spiritual foundation. I heard you all speaking earlier about how important it is to change the moral compass of a person and the behavior. And I believe that you do that by simply making it a faith-based you start with the faith.
Yeah.
The faith is where transformation of mind, because we can build and have all of these wonderful apartment complexes, but you can provide a new complex for the old person in terms of mindset. They'll tear it up as quick as you build it up.
Yeah.
So there's a intentional step around spiritual transformation, but then there's the housing, there is the education, there is the economic, and of course the health and wellness. So that's our whole approach. So over the years we have evolved and we've done things in each one of those sectors, and now we phrase it as Hope Center West.
Now I want to shift to Dr. Jen, because we were talking about deplorable living conditions. We've been talking about situations that are not a pleasing to a family environment. How does that affect a student's education? Because, you know, a lot of times we talk about kids doing well in school, but then if their environment is not conducive for that, what have you seen in this transformation when it comes to education?
I believe that the school and the home must make a positive connection. And in order for transformation to really and truly happen, a family has to, number one, trust the school to do the very best that they can for their child. And then the school has to work alongside that family, regardless of the conditions that they live in. And the environment plays a huge role in the amount of stress a child is under. Stress impacts your ability to actually move things from short-term memory to long-term memory. And so we have to address the whole child. And so this partnership and relationship that we have with the Hope Center West campus and housing, and really having a strategic collective effort in addressing the environment of the child, the school environment, the home environment, has been very powerful for our school community.
Absolutely. Again, you're listening to Frontline Sports Center, Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM. If you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you call in at 407-369-8555. Again, that's 407-369-8555. So I want to switch it up a little bit. You know, we are in the Black Panther phenomenon. This is Wakanda forever. This is where we are right now. This is crazy. I was reading something last night, and it's amassed about $700 million in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And you know, I took from the movie, honestly, Black excellence. That's what I came away from the movie. And we're talking, again, still about entrepreneurship. But our question of the day was, how is we as an urban community, how can we improve ourselves? And so I'm interested, you know, we're trying to tie in that connection. But one, what was your favorite character in the movie? And two, how can that Black excellence apply to our communities? What do we need to do to be a part of that?
My favorite character, and I'm still trying to determine for sure because I like so many of them, but I'm just going to be honest. The general, she didn't play. She just went for it.
Yeah.
And in what we do in community transformation, oftentimes we just have to go for it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the naysayers, sometimes you got to go for it simply based upon faith. You just don't have enough.
Yeah.
And so she's going to be my favorite character.
She made it clear on what she represents as well.
Yeah, so. There was a line in the movie, or there's a scene in the movie where she, and hopefully I'm not messing it up for anybody, where she was going against her love interest. And he said, "Would you actually, you know, would you kill me?" And she's like, "Without question." I'm like, "Whoa!" Like,
but for like, her, and he could have taken it personal, but he understood, like, "Oh yeah, let me remember what the main thing is," and that kind of reminded him and changed him.
Yeah.
I love the movie for so many reasons, but one of them was the real focus on community, and that scene brought that back. Mm. And the fact that as African people and African people have been part of the diaspora, we definitely recognize this sense of community. Yeah. As a school, we do a lot of culturally responsive teaching. And so everything that we centers back on the community.
Yeah.
Because we got all this I stuff, you know,
right,
iPhone,
right.
I mean, everything is I. So, but what is your collective responsibility? And so when his response to her, he understood that community went above I.
Right. Yeah.
So I thought that was very powerful.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. And I think to answer the question of, you know, what we can do, I think it's about self-love. Mm. And so getting to know ourselves and loving ourselves, and then everything else can kind of come from there. So, you know, I attended, like I said, Howard University and also went there for medical school. And so I have like I'm from Baltimore. That's right. But my best friend is from Africa. He's from Ghana. So it's in West Africa. It's the last place that they brought slaves before they came across. And so, you know, we got to go to the slave castles and everything and the door of no return. But when we had a trip and it was me, him, and probably about 15 other guys who were all physicians, and a lot of them were African. And so we, since we were all there, I said, you know, we should have a conversation about what we can do to kind of make a difference. And at the end of the day, the Africans had a problem with African Americans. One, because they feel like when they come here that they're teased, and you know, they're called African booty scratchers and different things like that. So they're not really accepted. But then also when they look at the African Americans, they're like, well, why aren't you taking school seriously? Like, you have all these opportunities. Why aren't you making the most of it? And then when I'm listening to all these things, I think that, like, for even for myself, I want my kids to live in Africa for an extended amount of time, for at least a year or so that they can see the difference and see that there are people who look like you, who are on billboards, who are running the government, and who are working hard in school and, like, take it seriously, because I think it makes a difference. But at the end of the conversation, I felt like the Africans had more of an idea of self, and that was what made the biggest difference. They felt comfortable with themselves, and that's what made their community, and that's what Wakanda was about to me also.
You know, there was one quote that happened in the presentation from the Daddy King
when he saw the
Sun King going down to his knees, and the dad looks at the son and he says, "Stand up, son, you are a king.
Exactly.
And that's the connection for our community that we have to make with the children that live here. One of the things that I'm excited about what Dr. Jenny has done, she has renamed the child from simply being a student to being a scholar.
Yeah.
So when you come on the campus, you get to meet all of these little scholars.
Exactly.
That takes you beyond simply being a student.
That's incredible. And I think we have a call in the line. Again, the numbers 407-369-8555 if you want to join in that conversation. 407-369-8555. Carla, how you doing? Welcome to Fit for Life.
Welcome. I'm very glad to be a part of this conversation, and I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. And I just wanted to give input. I didn't get a chance to hear the entire inception of your show, but from what I was hearing about our students, or scholars, shall we say, giving our students affirmation, I think the Black Panther movie really ignited, and should have ignited, a lot of conversations about who you are, because we have to be the change we want to see.
Mm.
But we have to instill that in the mindset of our youth, that they are not gonna be, they are today.
Yeah.
So I am very excited about what you guys are presenting on the airwaves, and I want to encourage you to continue these conversations. I think they're going to make a profound difference.
Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so very much.
I think she made a strong point. And so I think that as men, as African American men, we have to find any opportunity that we can to affirm our youth, women that we love, kids, all different people. And so I try to do it. And even the bishop can even kind of talk about the importance of affirmation or naming, or, you know, the, like that's kind of the test that that Adam was given first. But I want to encourage all the men and women out there to affirm people as much as possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, your kids that you have at home, of course, we're raised, and, you know, sometimes you get beat or different stuff like that, or, you know, you just kind of used to a certain level of violence and stuff like that. But in any kind of way possible, I want to encourage all the listeners to affirm their kids and their sisters, their brothers, you know.
Absolutely. We've got to make a difference in the lives of these young people, speaking to them the life that they are. I think we have another call on the line. Welcome to Fit for Life.
Hello. I'd like to ask the Dr. Jenny from Legends Academy, has she had any response from the kids in school about the movie yet?
That's a great question. So we actually had the opportunity, we had a sponsor contribute funds and invest in our scholars, and we took the entire seventh grade class on opening day to see the movie. And so their response was very powerful. They wanted to learn. The first thing was that they had such an overwhelming sense of pride.
Yeah.
Pride in seeing the scientific contributions of the people. And as a result, they wanted to learn more about the continent and the countries in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, hey, can we do some units? Can we do some study? Can we do some independent book study about African civilizations and about the diaspora of the African people? So it was a very positive response from our scholars.
You know, I got a chance, and I want to shout out an organization, New Journey Youth Center and New Image Youth Center, with Danielle and Shantae, because I had a chance to be a part of taking about 70 people to the screening of Black Panther. And, you know, you're dealing with all these kids in the movie theater, but it was phenomenal to see their reactions, you know, especially when T'Challa came back alive and everything, everybody was clapping. But, you know, again, I go back to Black excellence, because I think that for so many times we've used terms to demonstrate who our children are: disadvantaged, at risk, underserved, underprivileged. And I'm one in trying to eradicate those terms and go to the potential and the purpose that they have. Can you speak to that, Dr. Jen? You know, because you come in, and I'm sure they come in as scholars now, but you can't control what they hear, not specifically from their home life, but, you know, on the radio, on television, how we're displayed.
That we can never underestimate the very systematic oppression that's been institutionalized, especially within the education system. And so in order to do that, you have to start with the teacher. And so the teacher has to view the potential in every single scholar that we have and really and truly believe. So it really starts with who you hire as an educational institution. And so as a public charter school, we are charged with the responsibility of creating a different kind of environment for our scholars, so we can address some of the unique systems that our children come from. And because of that, we can create a culturally responsive environment. We can create an environment that is going to allow them to see and view themselves in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. You know, the first being as a scholar.
Yeah. I think it's so important that we reinforce that. Bishop, you've been very prevalent about investing in the community, in the urban community, specifically a geographical area. And I want to ask you a question on that, but I think we have another caller. Welcome to Fit for Life.
Yes, this is Pastor Curry.
Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome. We're here talking about Black Panther movie, Black excellence, and how we can empower our generation. So, yeah, you're on the line. Talk to us.
Well, definitely. I think that the movie brought out some significant things as it relates to leaving a legacy. But I believe one of the things that we have to really begin to position ourselves in understanding is never finding ourselves, especially with the character that was the antagonist of the Black Panther.
Killmonger.
Your hate can actually be the thing that grips you to a place that you can become the very people that you hate. And that line really comes out. So we're being a people of a race, it's not a matter of just becoming superior to anybody else, because you didn't learn from the same mistake of the other party, but the sense of compassion and love that it was shown through the pamphlet that was the contrast of a true legacy, not only of wealth in the sense of financial, but wealth that relates to prosperity and towards peace. Because that gentleman did not have peace. Even though he had money, he was still troubled in his mind and heart.
Absolutely.
Panther had peace in the midst of, even when he lost everything, he had still a sense of destiny. I just pray that our generation will learn from that.
Absolutely.
I hear that pastor coming out.
But let's talk about it. Let's talk about Killmonger, because I appreciate the fact that the bishop wants to address the whole man, and you know, not just, you know, give you an apartment, but address the whole person.
Yeah.
So, you know, even Killmonger, like, of course he was antagonistic, and you can see the negative part about it, but he was a man. And he wanted to belong. He had all the same needs that the king had, and
quite
everyone
honestly
else.
Had some points.
Definitely. Right, exactly. Yeah. So if you take that child's father, I mean, my father died when I was three, so I could tell you about the anger that I had.
Yeah,
I could tell you about all the fights that I got into. I wasn't like him, so I didn't end up killing people, but I got into fights every week because I was angry. Mm-hmm. And so if you know that your father died, and you know you have certain things that you have to address, then that those things can affect you. And he wanted to be a king just like anybody else wanted to be a king, just like all our kids who were students and now are scholars and want to be kings. So you know, you can look at what they do and see it as acting out or whatever the case may be, but those kids want to be kings, they want to be scholars. And so we can't just look at the Killmongers or the kids out there or call them hooligans or what they thugs or different things. Mm-hmm. But really look at the things that they want and the things that they need.
Absolutely.
So let me just add one scripture, since we have a pastor on the line.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bishop. Archbishop. You
know, I think it's the onus is falling back on the parents ultimately. Mm. And I know that tragedy happens from time to time, but the Bible says in Psalms 127 that children are a gift from God and they are his reward to us. So at the end of the day, we as parents must really see our children as precious jewels, and they are the ones that will continue our legacy and heritage. When we look at them through that lens, then we tend to protect them. We tend to provide for them.
Yeah.
We tend to educate them appropriately because we know that they are going to continue our legacy and our heritage.
You know, one of the things that I've really stood by, that success without a successor is failure. So if we're not empowering the next generation to basically be the change, as we'll said on the call, that we want to see, then we're failing. And one of the other themes of we in Black Panther mode, Wakanda forever. Listen, by the way, everybody listening, we know we have a new greeting as a community. You just dap it up, cross the chest. That's our new greeting. So if you see it on the street, don't play with it. Just know that's what it is. One of the other things to Killmonger, and one of the profound points of the movie for me was when I think it was the Mombuku tribe who had been ostracized from Wakanda, or they had ostracized themselves from Wakanda, and they said they're not going to support you, they're not going to fight with you. But then in the end, they all brought it together because they saw a common goal. And I want to kind of shift this again back to Bishop, because the question of the day is, how as we as an urban community, how can we improve ourselves? And one of the things that I see is many times, maybe more than any other culture, we fight ourselves so much. And you know, in business and ministry and in organization, youth ministry. I mean, I see that in myself. So how can we turn that tide, be like that warrior, that Mombuku warrior, and come together as a community?
Well, again, I think from a parental role, we have to really see how important it is for us to be involved in our children's lives. But then if we look at the economic role, we have to learn how to support the businesses of our community. We have to really put our money where our mouth is and where our faith is. It, you know, it's just time out for saying, listen, I can't come to you because you are Black. I know you might have had some shortcomings dealing with some of our people, but at the end of the day, you got to see the larger picture, just like the guy did. He came to their rescue with their army. So we've got to learn how to support each other. We've got to learn how to support our educational system,
absolutely.
Our churches. All of this stuff makes a big difference when we're so much stronger together than we are apart.
Absolutely.
And so this whole crab mentality really has to get away.
So let me make a point about that, because I've also had a conversation about Black business. business because I'm a black business owner. And so we were having a chat, and someone was like, oh, well, I don't use black business a lot because they tend to be, whatever the case may be, disorganized, or I didn't get exactly what I needed. And so for everyone listening, I just want to, don't categorize black businesses and say that they are something negative, unless you do the same thing about other businesses as well. Unless you say that white businesses are provide poor service, or you know, any other nationality, their businesses provide poor service. Because if you go to a major chain, if you go to McDonald's and you get poor service, you're not going to
so
say
many times.
You're not going to say white business is disorganized. Yeah. Or if you go to some other chain, you're not gonna, if you go to a radio station, you know, somewhere else, you're going to be like, oh, white radio stations, you know, move slow, or they move on white people time. And so we only kind of put those negative aspects when it comes to black things and black business.
And I want to challenge you to hold our businesses accountable.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. our businesses represent all of us. Mm-hmm. So if you're not receiving the proper customer service, go ahead and speak up. I know that you might get retaliated upon, but write it up. The point is, hold each other accountable so all of the ships can rise in our community.
Can you speak to that? Because you've said that many times, and I think it's powerful for the listening community to hear about the rising of the tide and kind of where we are in that. Can you
speak well, to in that? The scenario that I normally speak about, rising tides raise all ships, is normally dealing with the prominent community versus the urban community. That oftentimes we see the economics, the economy just causing all of the other ships to rise, when the truth of the matter is, we in the urban community, we're not in the same water. We're not even in the water. Our ships, we're just, and so it makes it very difficult when you look at the NASDAQ and you see the stock and all of that stuff going up, but you're not participating in it because you're not even in the stock market.
Wow.
You don't even know about the Forex. You don't even know about those things because you're just not in it.
Yeah. So I, you know, we this has been phenomenal, y'all. I'm so happy to be here with again Dr. Jennifer Porter Smith, Archbishop Allen T.D. Wiggins. Again, you're listening to the Frontline Sports Center Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM. You still have a few moments to call, 407-369-8555. I want to speak to Dr. Jen just for a moment again. One of the most powerful characters in the movie for me was a young lady by the name of Shuri. And she represented an African-American young female. And I was talking with actually Dwight Mitchell before, and she kind of made it run. You know, if it was not for her, the whole Wakanda could not run. She dealt with the science. She dealt with the health. She dealt with the technology. Yeah. Speak to how powerful that is for all of our community, but specifically our young black females, to see that.
It was especially powerful. Legends Academy is a STEM-focused charter school. And we did that for several reasons, because it is the path to a great future for our scholars. Also, I have a personal interest in ensuring that we have African representation, black, you know, representation in the fields of STEM. I have a PhD in behavioral neuroscience from the University of Florida, so I'm not an educator by training.
Yes, yes.
But I have a love for science. And so to see this young woman is that character is so important. We recently did something with our scholars. We asked them to draw what a scientist is to you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so we're in the middle of really collecting that data and looking at it to make sure that our young people, you know, see themselves as scientists, see yourself as a physician, see yourself as a teacher, just see yourself represented in many different fields, but particularly those that center around STEM. Because I know you've heard of the Black Doll study.
Yes.
That initially was done in the 60s.
Yes.
And they replicated about every 10 years. And really the results are very similar. Mm-hmm. In 2018. Our children will choose dolls that do not look like them as being the more desirable to play with, to interact with. If you ask them, okay, who's the smarter one? Mm-hmm. Who do you want to be your friend? They will choose the doll that does not look like them.
Wow.
Wow, and so that's why this movie is once again so powerful in imagery, because preference formation happens by the time you're 3 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when I ask you, what does an intellectual person look like? What does a beautiful person look like? Mm-hmm. What does a successful person look like? It's crucial that our children see these images of themselves.
Powerful, powerful. If you have not seen Black Panther, you need to go see it. I want to shift for a moment, because you all at Legends Academy also have a community garden, and you really talk about the need for health and wellness. And so I know that we have a doctor. We were blessed to have a doctor, two doctors. We got two doctors on our first show in the facility. So talk about the community garden, Dr. Nick. I know you have some thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, so she'll be able to tell you, everyone, the details about the garden. Part of my job here will be to educate on different health topics. And so, like I said at the beginning, I want to make sure that everyone always has a pen and paper handy to look at different websites and different information. But the thing I'll talk about today is metabolic syndrome. And so if you haven't heard of it before, then you need to look at it and look it up. But metabolic syndrome is when you have two of any health risk factors that are cardiovascular risk factors. So obesity, so truncal obesity. So if your stomach is too big, high blood pressure, hyperglycemia, or high blood sugar, high cholesterol. Anytime you have two of those, you're at increased risk for having a heart attack, stroke, all those different things. And so at the end of, you know, throughout time, we'll be talking about how to approach those different things. Basically, one thing that I'll leave you with is if you do 150 minutes of vigorous exercise per week, it helps with metabolic syndrome. Mm. But also, if you want to lose weight, we want to lose fat, not muscle. The only one way to lose fat is to burn off more calories than you take in. So that means you want to burn off more calories and work out and take in less calories. And so, of course, taking in less calories, we think of that as diet. And so we can talk about the garden and how that affects people's diet and taking in less calories.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, as we go on, we have about a minute and a half left. I want to hear about the community garden that time. But if you have questions when Dr. Nick is on, please call in, because he'll be a phenomenal resource. So community garden, we're at Legends Academy, talk about it for us.
So we just completed the first phase of that community garden. So we have raised beds, we have organic peat moss and organic soil in those raised beds. And so we're entering into our second phase, which is to plant vegetables and herbs in that garden. We're actually going to harvest them. Mm. And with several partners, we're going to cook what we harvest and really expose our scholars to different types of vegetables and different ways of cooking. Also some culturally responsive ways. We have a large Haitian Creole community, mm-hmm. At Legends Academy, and so we want to make sure that we are planting and growing things that speak to those vegetables that may be non-traditional within the African American community, but yeah, the Haitian Creole community would grow.
Well, we got 30 seconds. Bishop, any lasting words you want to say to our community
today? Or if you can pray us out, give us the honor to pray us out.
Okay, 30 seconds. All right. Quickly, I want to say that you're not only what you think, but you're not only what you eat, but you're also what you think.
Yeah.
So that kind of wraps it all together. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you now. We thank you for this day. We thank you for every listener. We thank you for this platform, this opportunity to address real issues. And I pray, God, that you would just bless us according to your will. I pray that you make us smarter. I pray that you help us work harder and bring more glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Fit for Life, first show is a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us.
Frontline Sports Center.
Do you have a CDL-A license? Are you ready to change lanes? Well, check out McLean Company in Orlando. McLean driver teammates enjoy some of the best pay and benefits in the industry, like average first-year pay of $65,000 to $75,000, depending on experience, and benefits that start on your first day. A $5,000 sign-on bonus is a nice way to start a new job, too. Visit their hiring event Saturday, March 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 2444 Tradeport Drive in Orlando for an interview on the spot. Learn more at McLeanOrlandoDrivers.com. That's McLeanOrlandoDrivers.com. McLean is an equal opportunity employer and proud supporter of 98.5 The Wire.
Hey, everybody, this is Joshua Myers at Hope and Help. Hope and Help is Orlando's number one choice for wellness screenings, education, and care. And what that means is we offer free HIV screenings to the entire community. Every year we test over 5,000 people. And for those who test positive for HIV, we link you immediately into our care system. We want to ensure that you have all the resources at your fingertips to live the best and healthiest lifestyle possible. Hope and Help is a proud supporter of 98.5 The Wire, the new voice of Pine Hills, Orlando.
Hey there, Orlando. It's all about Island Fever FM right here on 98.5 The Wire with me, Candace McCallum, and a bunch of my friends. It's all about Island Fever, Island Vibe, Island Culture, and Island Style. And of course, it's me, Candace McCallum. Each and every week, I'll be with you to give you the very best from the Caribbean. It's Island Fever FM from 12 to 8 p.m. Saturdays right here on 98.5 The Wire.
Do you have a CDLA license? Are you ready to change lanes? Well, check out McLane Company in Orlando. McLane driver teammates enjoy some of the best pay and benefits in the industry, like average first-year pay of $65,000 to $75,000, depending on experience, and benefits that start on your first day. A $5,000 sign-on bonus is a nice way to start a new job, too.